American delivers 11,000 layoff warnings. Competition for the new Marine One is as hot as that for the Oval Office. And Endeavor is go at last on its final flight. I'm Glenn Moyer. This is Aero News for Thursday, September 20th, 2012. American Airlines has reportedly sent layoff notices to some 11,000 employees, though the company says it does not expect that many will actually lose their jobs. The Associated Press reports that the affected workers are mostly mechanics and ground workers with the airline. AMR Corporation is currently working its way through bankruptcy proceedings. American spokesman Bruce Hicks said that the actual number of layoffs will likely be about 4,400, or about 40% of those who received the notices. He says that the company is required by federal law to notify anyone who could possibly see a change in their employment status, including those who might be displaced by more senior employees who have their jobs outsourced or eliminated. The airline is still in negotiation with its pilots, who criticize the company for, quote, paying lip service, end quote, to contract talks while hiding behind the bankruptcy to get larger concessions from the pilots. The pilots plan a strike authorization vote and are reportedly participating in a sick-out, which has led to an increase in flight cancellations. That move has led a columnist for the Wall Street Journal to tell his readers to not book on American this fall. Columnist Scott McCarthy wrote that the pilots are, quote, reacting angrily and hurting passengers. The pilots' union denies any orchestrated action and blames management for operational problems. He said the tactic is not new among pilots' unions. APA spokesman Tom Hoban, by the way, says that the sick-out has not been sanctioned by the union, nor does it support the action, according to the AP, but added that, quote, to say the pilots are unhappy would be the understatement of a lifetime, end quote. Northrop Grumman Corporation and Augusta Westland have signed a comprehensive teaming agreement to respond to anticipated requests for both the new Air Force Combat Rescue Helicopter and the Navy's recently announced program to develop a new Marine One presidential helicopter. A U.S.-built helicopter based on the AW101 platform will be offered by Northrop Grumman to meet these requirements, the companies said on Tuesday. Sikorsky plans to offer an aircraft based on the S-92 airframe in a partnership with Lockheed Martin as a replacement for the current presidential transport. Sikorsky spokesman Franz Jurgens told the Connecticut Post that the company has not yet received sufficient direction from the Navy about its acquisition plans to offer many specifics. Augusta Westland had previously partnered with Lockheed Martin and won a $6.1 billion contract to replace the presidential helo, but it was canceled after cost overruns and delays in the program. Jurgens said Sikorsky also plans to bid on the Air Force search and rescue helo, but has not yet indicated on which of its helicopters that aircraft would be based. Following two 24-hour delays for weather, the space shuttle Endeavour finally lifted off on its final voyage. Sadly, this liftoff was not from the launch gantry, but on the back of NASA's 747 shuttle carrier aircraft. Endeavour is on its way to its final resting place at the California Science Center. Like a ball player on a farewell tour, the shuttle is scheduled to perform numerous low-level flybys at sites ranging from Florida's Space Coast on the east to Edwards Air Force Base in the west. The shuttle departed KSC yesterday morning and overnighted at Houston's Ellington Air Force Base, where hundreds turned out to see the last of NASA's space trucks. Houston is home to Mission Control, but lost out in the bidding to receive one of the shuttles. Today, the shuttle departs for California and an eventual overnight stop at Edwards. Then on Friday morning, it is scheduled to continue its farewell tour with flybys over the state capitol in Sacramento and then south to L.A. for several more photo ops before touching down at LAX. After a few weeks of preparation, Endeavour will enjoy one last 12-mile parade where it will be driven through the city streets of Inglewood in Los Angeles to the California Science Center, where it will go on public display on October the 30th. Endeavour flew 25 missions and spent 299 days in space. The second annual Migration Flight Training Conference at Redbird Skyport will feature industry leaders Pete Bunce, the CEO of Gamma, Jack Pelton, the former CEO of Cessna Aircraft Company, and AOPA's Craig Fuller, who will discuss the future of the flight training industry. The Migration Conference will be held October 22nd through the 24th at Redbird Skyport in San Marcos, Texas, to gather flight training professionals interested in shaping the future of flight training. Attendees will share the latest insights on both techniques and flight training technologies, including a report from Redbird Skyport on its first year of using simulators rather than real aircraft as the core for Part 141 flight training. Breakout groups on the second day will grapple with the real-world challenges facing the industry and how technology could fit into the solutions. Redbird Skyport is a multi-purpose general aviation services center at San Marcos Municipal Airport that functions as a research and development laboratory. When Aero News continues, more leaked photos have come to light. No, not those photos. Is natural gas the next jet fuel? And Tuskegee University commits to a new generation of Red Tails.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, September 20th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Photos leaked Sunday out of China suggest the country is developing a second stealth fighter that has similarities with both the F-35 Lightning II and the F-22 Raptor. The photos were leaked as U.S. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta was visiting China. The first photos of a shrouded new airplane showed up in video clips on the internet in June. It is reportedly being built by Shenyang Aircraft Corporation and may be in direct competition with the J-20 airplane being developed by Chengdu Aircraft Corporation, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal. The new jet has a twin-engine configuration, which could give it a higher takeoff weight than the F-35, or it could be indicative of design inefficiencies or a lack of faith in domestic engine design. Neither the new airplane or the CAC J-20 is beyond the prototype stage, according to the Wall Street Journal, and their capabilities are far from being determined. But it is clear that China is working on an advanced fighter aircraft and may have introduced competition in defense contracting into its mix. The founder of JetBlue and a handful of other airlines says that the solution to volatile jet fuel prices is a process to convert natural gas into something airliners can burn, and he wants to put up $1 billion as an XPRIZE to make it happen. David Neelman presented the idea at the Airline Forecast Conference in Dallas, Texas on Monday, saying, quote, "That's my next big thing," end quote. Bloomberg Businessweek reports that the idea of gas to liquid fuel is feasible and is actually being done in Qatar by Shell, producing viable fuel at a cost of about $80 per barrel. Qatar Airways first used the GTL fuel in 2009. Just building the plant, though, cost the company $18 billion. But Neelman says to be truly viable, the fuel would have to come in at about half that price, around $40 per barrel. He said that would be a, quote, game changer, end quote, which would be more attractive than biofuels currently under development. Neelman said that he hopes other carriers will chip in to get up the $1 billion for a fund that could spur innovation in the field. Well, after more than 60 years, part of Tuskegee's aviation legacy returned to historic Moton Field. Four original Tuskegee airmen were welcomed back to the historic training site by the National Park Service and Tuskegee University President Gilbert L. Rochon last Saturday. The airmen, Homer Hoags, Robert T. McDaniel, Claude Platt, and Calvin Spann, and their families were granted a private tour of the Tuskegee Airmen National Historic Site and were among the first to get a look at Hangar 2, a new addition to the museum that will be revealed next year. To mark the visit, Rochon presented each airman with a presidential commemorative coin, saying, quote, "You're always welcome back home. We're honored to have you here," end quote. Later, the three men were special guests at a seminar and film presentation detailing the history of the Tuskegee Airmen and their connection to the university. During his remarks about the institution's global and historical influences, Rochon told the audience about his commitment to renew Tuskegee's connection to aviation studies. He noted the institution is the only historically black university with an accredited aerospace engineering program. In the future, students will have the opportunity to train as pilots, aircraft mechanics, air traffic controllers, aerospace engineers, and geoscientists. In closing, Roshan said, quote, "We pledge that we will invigorate the next generation of Tuskegee Airmen," end quote. Well, that's our report for now. Tomorrow, I'll be reporting from Plano, Texas, just north of Dallas, at the site of the annual Plano Balloon Festival, where I've been the event's public address MC for over 20 years. If you're in the neighborhood, please drop by and say hello. I promise there'll be enough hot air to go around. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.